from Colossians chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. In our prayers for you, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints. Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, you have heard of this hope before in the word of the truth, the gospel that has come to you. Just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world, so it has been bearing fruit among yourselves from the day you heard it and truly comprehended the grace of God. This you learn from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and he has made known to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him as you bear fruit in every good work, as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be strong with all the strength that comes from the glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, a familiar mantra of the Apostle Paul. So familiar, perhaps, to us at times that we overlook the depth of those words and the true meaning that Paul is speaking to us. I'm grateful for his words in the text today where he said to the church in Colossae, that you truly come to understand and comprehend, as our text translates it today, the grace of God. When I think of God's grace and the overwhelming bounty of that gift, words escape me truly to proclaim the fullness of God's love for us, communicated in that word. The old hymn, indeed, is true and certain. God's love is amazing. Amazing is the grace of our Lord. As I drove over this morning, I went a different route. I came through Walnut and I was driving, and some of you have seen before that natural spring that flows out of the side of the bank just as you're exiting Corinth and Alcorn County about to come into Tippah County. Quite often you'll see people there harvesting the free water, the natural spring that's flowing out of the banks very near here. And in that water, I'm reminded of two things. It never ends. It continues to produce. Its bounty is overwhelming. And guess what? It's also free. Those who receive it pay nothing. They cherish and receive the water, the gift of life. Isn't it beautiful that Holy Scripture describes God's grace in that way? That it shall flow into us like the waters of life? Like that spring, God's love for us is without end. And it's completely free unto us, for Christ Jesus paid the price through His love to deliver us, as Paul said here, from lives of darkness into light. Friends, that's the grace and gift of our God. To embrace us even at our worst and continue to sustain us in our shortcomings. Paul offers to the church there this grace of our Lord, but also God's peace. The peace that we often translate in our world as simply the absence of conflict, and that indeed is peace. But the true interpretation of this word in the Greek that Paul is wanting to share with these believers is the fullness of life in God. Not only an absence of conflict, but an abundance, dear church, of joy. A completion in happiness. No wealth concerns, that's the offer of peace. No health concerns, that's Paul's desire for believers. No brokenness in relationships, that's the offer and blessing of peace that Paul desires for those who have trust in Christ Jesus. A complete, full, and abundant life. Our Lord Jesus said it this way: I came not only to bring you life, but to give you life more abundantly. So this is the gift to us as children of God, as those who believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, as Messiah, as God come down from heaven for us. So Paul introduces this relationship to the church in Colossae. And he also, dear church, I think in our text today, gives us a set of goals of how to attain this grace and peace of our God. Paul says here in verse 9, a beautiful translation of Scripture, when he talks about what I think are some ingredients to growing in God's grace and peace. He says, we've not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Now let's unpack that a little bit. What all is Paul saying there? You know what I hear? I hear that Paul is saying that to embrace the grace and peace of God, we grow in our faith with our head, with our heart, and with our hands. With our head, the understanding, that's Paul's appeal. He says, my prayer for you is that you will grow in the understanding of God. I think one way that we grow in the understanding of God is through God's Word. We study Holy Scripture. We read these words and find the words of life that we don't have it in ourselves. There's wisdom and understanding. We indeed grow in grace and peace with our head knowledge and understanding by studying God's Word and letting it breathe into us words of life. But Paul doesn't end with head knowledge. He speaks of heart knowledge when he says, my desire here in verse 9 is that you'll also grow in spiritual wisdom. You've heard me say before that I think of the difference between wisdom and knowledge. It's very closely related, but wisdom is the understanding of how to apply the knowledge we have. as a child, we may know the right response to our parent, but sometimes it's not wise to express it if it's not respectful, right? Or to our teacher. There is a wisdom, husbands, on when our wives ask us if this outfit makes me look too big. Wisdom is applying what we know. It's the heart knowledge. It's the compassion to express God's love in an uplifting way. We grow in grace and peace when we practice spiritual wisdom. So we grow in head knowledge through the Word, and I think we grow in heart knowledge in worship. Isn't that what we do here this day? That's why we get dressed. We're intentional in our worship. We get out of our comfort zone. We show up on Sunday morning to come to this holy house for one primary purpose, and that is to praise our God and say thank you. To worship and grow in wisdom. Spiritual wisdom. Have you ever thought of worship in that way? We're strengthened for our journey, not only with an understanding, but a wisdom from on high in worship. And lastly, the other goal Paul gives to us of how to attain grace and peace, he speaks of our hand knowledge, our works. Paul says it this way in this text. He says, my prayer is that you will grow and be filled with the knowledge of God's will. I think that applies to what we do with our life. As we search for God's direction for our ministry, for our family, we pray fervently that we will seek the things that embrace God's will for us. See, God will allow us to wonder if we're so hard-headed to choose. I know I'm a good example of that. Been there, done that. But if our prayer will be, Lord, not my will, but thine be done, as we heard sung this morning, if we can truly surrender and say, God, it is well with my soul for you to take charge of my life. That's where we find, dear friends, grace and peace. When we apply the hands of our life, that third W of working our faith in accordance with God's will, friends, there is a joy beyond explanation. That's Paul's desire. Understand, in this text today, as he writes to the church of Colossae, he says, this is my desire for you. And you know what the outcomes are? If we embrace this goal of the faith that Paul says, if we practice our faith with our head, with our hearts, and with our hands, Paul goes on to say, here will be the fruit of that existence. He says in verse 10, you, dear church, will lead lives pleasing to God. Now, isn't that beautiful? You know, I think of a child. As a young child, our desire is to please our parents, to make mama happy and sometimes daddy. But to please our parents, is there anything better than to know our parents are well pleased, to have their affirmation and encouragement? Wow. And friends, when we strive to live out our faith, Paul says, if we embody the desire to have God's knowledge in our head, to have God's wisdom in our heart as we share it, and to be God's hands as we serve the world, we will be living lives pleasing to God when we simply share His love. Diane came this morning and she spoke of this work of Together for TIPA. And Diane, we say to you, as we've said before, we're going to support your ministry. This is a giving congregation that I'm so blessed to pastor and share in ministry with. You are an inspiration to me. You encourage me and inspire me to say, we want to live out God's love in this community so loudly that sometimes our words can't even be heard because of our actions. That's being the hands and feet of Christ. And when we do that, there's a joy. Paul says, we're living lives pleasing to God. He also says in verse 10, we will bear fruit. As we heard the fruits of Together for Tippa this morning, how they're impacting that community. Dear church, that doesn't happen without you. And you know, I suspect there's moments that people may ask Diane and those other directors, where does this money come from? How do you do this? And you see, there the platform is, Price. There the opportunity is to say, you know, there's this church in Ripley that lives outside of their walls and they want to express love to others. There's grace and peace when we're the hands of Christ. It bears fruit, Paul says. Paul says also, we grow. I like to grow, don't you? When we live out our faith and embrace these goals of practicing our faith with our head, our hands, and our heart, we grow in God's knowledge and understanding. I like this, friends. It's not always easy, right? Even when we make the choice to claim Christ as Savior, even as we begin our journey with Him as our Lord, even as we continue to try in every way we can to walk with Him, it's not going to be easy. Can't we be honest about that? There's going to be challenges, adversities, obstacles. Hear what Paul says, I think. Prescriptions for us. In verse 11, his desire for the church is that you'll be strong, that you'll be able to endure, Paul says, that you will have patience, and that you will know joy. Even when there's challenges in our existence on earth and as people of faith, our desire through Jesus Christ is to grow more in His image with His patience, His joy, His love, and His strength to nurture us in our guidance. So this is Paul's desire for the church. But you know, I need to back up just a moment today. More than just a desire for the people of Colossae, friends, you know what Paul does to instill this gift? He prays. Did you hear how that's how our text began today? In verse 3 of our scripture, Paul said, in our prayers for you, we thank God. And then Paul really helps me. I need all the help I can get. I mean that. Because I forget sometimes. And Paul says, hey, Jody, in case you missed it, I'm going to say it again. He said it in verse 3. In our prayers for you, we thank God. And guess what he says in verse 9? For this day, since we've heard of you, we never stop praying for you. Here's what Paul's saying to me. To be strengthened for our journey of grace and peace, to be equipped to live out our faith more with the hands and heart and head centered on our Lord. You know what we need most of all? We need prayer. And not just our own prayer, but the prayers of others. Friends, I'm embarrassed to say, as I approach almost a half century of life on earth. I want to cloud my age as much as I can for y'all. That I'm just now seeing, it seems like for the first time, to truly understand the beauty and power of praying for another. It's one thing to pray for ourselves, and we should certainly do that. But to sacrificially and selflessly lift up another in prayer, friends, there's a holy favor from on high that's beyond our understanding. Paul is not simply saying it, he's doing it in our text today. He's praying for that church. And I'm praying for my church. This morning I lift up every one of you. I lifted you up, every one of you by name. Individually. And collectively. That you may know the gift of our Lord more fervently in your life. But I've got a request. Will you pray for me too? You see, the greatest gift, the most important strategy for us to be the church is to humbly, daily, fervently, and without ceasingly, in the name of Paul, pray for our brothers and sisters in faith that we all may grow in the grace and peace of our Lord. Amen.